Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this evening is from Mark chapter 14. And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." This is the text. All throughout this Lenten season, we have turned our attention to our brokenness, broken hearts, broken promises. We are jars of clay, easily broken. But God does not leave us in our brokenness. We are restored in Christ. If you want a one-line summary of the entire Bible, you could say, God's creation was spoiled, broken with sin. Christ came to make all things new. It's the whole story, just without all the detail. The detail is seen in how God has rescued each generation of Adam's broken children. We are dead in our sin and made alive through Christ. And this is true of every generation of faithful, even those who predate Jesus coming into the world. Jesus and his disciples, they're gathering in the upper room. They do so with the intent of remembering how God rescued the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, how he established that first covenant. This is something that all the Jews were commanded to do. This is something that the disciples had done every year of their life. But now Jesus was going to bring a new understanding to the wine and the unleavened bread. This is my body. This is my blood. This is not the first time the disciples have been faced with the reality of Christ's flesh and blood being real food and real drink. Early in his ministry, as is recorded in John 6, Jesus says, "My flesh is real food, my blood is real drink. And unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Even in the early days of Jesus' ministry, he was preparing his disciples for the word and sacrament ministry of the church. The 3+ years of preaching and teaching, that was part of God's plan of salvation. But as we see, Jesus' preaching, his miracles, it didn't sway the masses. It would be the disciples who preach, baptize, and with the believers participate in the body and blood of Christ. It is through the word and sacrament ministry of the disciples and the Holy Spirit. It is there that he grows and enlarges the family of God from generation to generation. And we have inherited this great gift, this message, the hope of the world, in the broken body and shed blood of the Son of God. Now, there are many in our world today who say that Jesus was just speaking metaphorically, symbolically. This symbolizes my body. This represents my blood. I find it curious that those who heard his words back in John 6 took them to be literal. When he said, "My flesh is real food," and they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" And many of his followers turned back and no longer walked with him. And Jesus does not stop them from leaving. He doesn't say, "Wait, wait, wait. You don't understand. I was just speaking symbolically." In fact, he scolds them for taking offense at him. And then asks the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" To which Peter replies, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." In the upper room, Jesus presents more words of eternal life. "This is my body. This is my blood, given and shed for you. The broken body and shed blood of the Son of God was the plan of salvation to fix our brokenness. It remains the plan of salvation. It is no small detail. The one thing that those disbelieving hearers back in John 6, the one thing they had right was that this is a hard saying. Look at the bread. Look at the wine. It's not logical. It's not rational. I need the eyes of faith to see the real food and to taste the real drink. Throughout his ministry, Jesus had been preparing his disciples to receive him under the form of bread and wine. He is real food. He is real drink. He boldly proclaims, "I am the bread of life." What we see in the upper room has always been part of the plan for God to rescue his people. He doesn't come with some feel-good remembrance meal. He offers his real broken body, his real shed blood, just like we'll see tomorrow on Good Friday. Jesus doesn't offer up some half-hearted symbolic gesture for the forgiveness of sins. He offers up his real hands and his real feet to be pierced with nails. He offers his real blood to be poured out. And his life really does end. I can't explain how God could die and rise again, but he did. I can't explain how the body and blood of Jesus Christ will be right here for you to eat and drink, but it is. I look to the bread, I look to the wine. Again, it's not logical, it's not rational. I need the eyes of faith to see the real food and taste the real drink. But it's not my faith or your faith that makes it happen. What we experience tonight is a miracle of the living Word of God being joined to bread and wine. It is a miracle that God has done throughout the generations, and he continues to do. His body is given for you. His blood is shed for you. It's received by you in a way that you can handle receiving the actual person of the Son of God. He comes under the form of bread and wine. It is a miracle beyond our understanding. Hearing the Word of God, rejoicing in what we have received, we get to participate in the details of God's plan. And Jesus comes to us again and says, "This is my body. This is my blood, given and shed for you." Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.